All right, let's just pray before we open the word this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're your children, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're here in the presence of the Almighty God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord. You want to challenge us, Lord. You want to change us. You want to grow us. And Father, that's when we hear your word, Lord, we want to be growing because of it, Lord. We want to be changed, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you spoke to us last week, Father, Lord. And I praise God, Lord, for the people that realized to come on time, Lord, that realized what they were missing, Father. Great to see people here today. And Father, I pray, Lord, that when we talk about prayer, Lord, that we'll grab a hold of the priority of prayer, Lord, and see how important and how powerful that is too, Father. But Lord, we just honor you this day. Speak to us through your word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we spoke about worship and how important it is, worship, which is not the warm-up act, that from the moment the first song is sung that we are in the presence of the living God. And we understood that actually our worship, even though it's on to God and directed to God because he is worth it, we saw that actually there's warfare that is going on your behalf when you are worshiping the living God. And that's why it's important not to be late, not to miss that time of warfare as you're honoring God, that the Lord is actually working for you as you're honoring and worshiping. Very powerful and very profound thing. And praise God for those that were all here, ready and willing to honor and worship our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Now, our scripture for the year, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When we give our life to Christ, we come and stand to the front and say, yeah, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. It's a good confession that we make. And there's a fight that we're in, a spiritual battle. And you're going to hear more about that in the grow groups this week as I look at spiritual warfare. And that's a very powerful topic that you'll be covering there. So trust that you've been going along to grow group because you want to grow and you want to learn all the things we can about prayer. I want to make a few comments about prayer this morning. That course you've been doing is excellent. And as I said, if for some reason that you've missed out on that, there's on the front of the newsletter, it'll tell you how to go online and to see all those. Some of you should want to revise some of those even and to go over them again. You can do that online. So all of that's there on the front of the newsletter. But I want to talk about prayer this morning. We've set aside this month of prayer and I've just been really excited to see those that have been gathering to pray. Very powerful times of prayer. Something happens when we pray. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. If you don't believe it, you won't bother praying. But if you understand that, you will pray. It says in 1 Peter 4:7, it says this, the end of all things is near. And that's true. Every day is a day closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore, be alert. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Be alert and of a sober mind so that you may pray. We've already heard that word before about being alert because there's an enemy, there's a devil who goes around seeking to see who he can devour. And so we're told to be alert. Here we're told to be alert and to be sober-minded so that you may pray. Well, why do people not pray? I think one of the reasons why we don't pray is because we're neither alert and we're not sober-minded. We don't realize, one, the importance of prayer. We don't realize the magnitude of this battle, this war that we're in. We don't understand that. We think prayer is just something that we do as a little child. Lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord to my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, whatever the rest of it goes. I can't remember how it goes because I never wanted to die before I woke up. But, you know, we reduce prayer as something as a little thing, a little cute little thing that kids do. I tell you what, there is a power when kids pray, by the way. There's an awesome power. But there's awesome power when we pray. We don't pray because we're not alert. We forget that we're actually in a war and that we need to be praying. It's a remarkable, you read how when Jesus' prayer life, how much Jesus prayed. You look in the book of John and read through there. Jesus is always going off to a quiet place to pray. He's going to getting up in the middle of the night, going off somewhere to pray. This is Jesus who intimately, you think, connected with the Father. I mean, Jesus is God. We know that when he lived here on the earth, he didn't function out of his divinity. He lived in his humanity, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, even as we are. We live in our humanity, but we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit. The things that Jesus did, he did out of that power of the Holy Spirit, not because he was God, but because of the Holy Spirit working through his life. And Jesus had this need to pray. In fact, if you read through there, and sometime do that, read the book of John, and you'll be amazed at how many times Jesus goes off to pray. And yet somehow we think that if Jesus prayed a lot that we don't need to. Well, if Jesus needed to pray, I certainly think that we need to pray. And we certainly need to pray because we know that there is a war going on, a spiritual battle in the unseen heavenly realms, and we need to be those people of prayer. It says to be alert, to be mindful, to realize the stakes. You know, this Book of Life prayer, this is not just something that we're doing and praying for. This is people that we know and we love, that unless their life comes to Christ, there's only one destination for them. And that's not the destination that we would want on anybody at all. And so that's why we want to be faithful praying for them, because the enemy's already got his clutches on those people, and we want to see them released and set free, even as we were when we came to Christ. And therefore, it's an important thing that we're praying. But to be sober-minded, what does it mean to be sober-minded? Doesn't mean just don't be drunk. Trust that we're not drunk. But sober-minded means is that we're sharp, we're perceptive, and that we're switched on, that we're focused, that there's a focus in our life. And I am focused on the things of God. I'm focused on God, number one. He's the focus of our heart. He's the core of our life. He's everything for us. He's the rock. He's the cornerstone we've been singing about. He's the rock. He's the anchor of our life. Everything is on him. His kingdom is what we live for, not for ourselves, not for our own earthly pleasures. We don't live like the world, but we're sober-minded. We're focused on the things of God. And if we're alert to the fact that we're in a battle and we're sober-minded, that we are focused on God, we're focused on the kingdom of God, then we will pray. We'll be ones that will pray. Prayer will come very naturally. And as you've been learning in this prayer course, prayer is pretty easy, isn't it? Pretty natural. And if you still feel weird about prayer, then get a hold of that course. So I said, get it online, or it's better to be in the home groups. At least you can discuss, ask questions, and you learn off one another. But it's so important that we are praying. And so that we want to be alert and we want to be sober-minded, so that we can pray. And I trust that we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be focused on you because I want to pray. I want to be a person that prays. Prayer is so important because it's about our intimacy with God. Prayer really is the language of that intimacy. That word came about being intimate with God. And prayer is really how that we do that. Worshiping is so important and such an important part of intimacy and honoring and worship God. We said last week that worship is to God and God alone. But man, does there a war that goes on when you are worshiping, and a victory that you are winning as you worship God? God is out there and he's working as you're worshiping him. And prayer, again, we're praying is focused on our relationship with God. That's got to be the main focus of our prayer. It's out of intimacy. It's not just what you want, not just what we need. And I trust that we're learning that and already getting a hold of that. If my relationship with my wife was, wife, you know, I need a shirt, can't find a hanky, need some socks, what's for dinner? If that was my whole relationship with my wife, how many wives would like that kind of relationship? It's not really a relationship, is it? But it's the communication of heart. It's I love you and listening and talking and that exchange of hearts. And that's really what prayer is. It really is that intimate place where we are with our Father in heaven and we just love him and we hear from him and we talk, and it's just that beautiful place. It's not a chore to pray. If you think prayer is a chore, then you don't understand prayer. Prayer is that place of intimacy. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15 says this. And it talks about how we can pray. It says, if I pray in a tongue, so praying in tongues, we're a Pentecostal church, we pray in tongues. It says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So that's a good thing. When we become a Christian, our spirit becomes alive, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have this ability that we're able to pray with our human spirit. And that's what praying in tongues is. It's your spirit praying. You're praying. Remember, you've got a spirit, and that's your spirit praying. So if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, pray in tongues, and I'll worship and I'll sing in the spirit, but also pray with my understanding. So I'm going to pray with my mind. Hands up if you've got a mind. Lord, I pray for all the people that I have minds today. We've all got minds, and so we're going to pray with our mind. You have an intellect, you have an intelligence, and God wants you to bring that and pray. So out of your spirit that's alive in Christ, you're praying in tongues with your mind, you're speaking out and you're thinking, and you've got a brain, you're using it, and you're praying and you're bringing things to God. It says, so I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I'll sing in the spirit, sing in tongues, worshipping the Lord. And I will sing with my understanding. And so we'll sing choruses and things, that words that we understand, and sing. So we do both those things. It's a part of it. And also we lift, that's what we also lift our body up. We lift our hands up. What are we doing that for? Because we're worshiping God with everything that we are, with our spirit, with our mind, and with our body. We're honoring Him with everything that we are. And when we're praying, we can lift our hands before God. Paul says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands without anger or disputing, to lift up hands in prayer. There's something about being fully engaged in the act of prayer. Very powerful. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this about prayer. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, some of you sitting here today, you may be anxious about something. Scripture says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and remember, adoration was something that we already learnt in the grow groups there. With adoration, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving, present your gifts to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're anxious about anything here this morning and the peace of God is not on your heart, there's something that's missing. What's missing? It's missing prayer. You say, well, actually, I have prayed. I prayed about it and I'm still anxious about it and I still don't have peace. Well, if you prayed about something and you're anxious and you've got an anxiety about it, it's on your mind, it's wearing you down, it's playing upon you, you just can't stop thinking about it, it's dragging you down, it's causing you to have anxiety, it's causing you just to feel down. If you've got that, then I'd suggest that you haven't prayed enough for it. Part of praying is that we pray it through to the point of peace. And if you've got a situation which there's no peace in your heart, and I'm not saying the situation is resolved, obviously if a situation resolved itself, obviously, you'd have peace, wouldn't you? Ultimately, that's what we're praying for. But before it is resolved, before the answer is actually evident and obvious and that anybody can see, even an unbeliever can see that the answer's through there, I just got to keep on praying, because I can come to the same peace as if I had my answer then that the whole world could see. I can have that now. I can have that same peace, the same sense of peace in my heart, even though the thing hasn't even happened yet. Now, for the world, that's ridiculous, because the only way they're ever going to get any sense of peace is they want this point of resolution. It's resolved. It's finished. Now my heart is at peace. But we are not the people of the world. Yeah, sure, for everybody, us included. If it's there, resolution is there, there's peace in my heart. But when I'm praying, we're able to have, it says here in the scripture, it talks about don't be anxious about anything. So if you're anxious about something, there's something missing. It says don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests for God and the peace of God. Which transcends all understanding. Doesn't make sense to have the same sense of peace and relief and in your own heart as if the thing had happened. Doesn't make sense to have that when you haven't got that. But we can have that through prayer. That is, we pray it through, the peace transcends understanding. Doesn't make sense to people, but you have the same peace as if the thing has worked out, as if it's resolved. And we can have that in prayer. And so if we're anxious about something, if we're in a situation where we think, well, I've prayed, but I just still feel, I'm still concerned. I'm still worried about my job. I'm still worried about my family situation. I just can't stop thinking about it, Lord. I can't stop obsessing about it, Lord. It's all I ever think about. Then you haven't prayed enough. Pray to that point of peace. Keep praying it through. Keep on praying, whether it takes hours, whether it takes all night. Every day, just keep praying and praying and praying and praying until you come to that point of peace in your heart. Suddenly there's a peace breakthrough. Okay, your bank account balance is still the same. It's still the same. The problem is still the same, but there's a peace in your heart which is the same as if everything had been sorted out. But what we don't do is we pray once, we pray twice. We say, Lord, I give it all to you. And then we walk away and we're still anxious. Next day we wake up, oh, we're still sweating on this. We're still, because we haven't prayed enough. We haven't prayed it through to the point of peace. And that's what the scriptures are telling us to do. Just keep praying it till you have that personal reassurance from the Father himself. You read it in the Word, you know the Word that is with you, but you still feel anxious. You hear the things, but you still feel anxious. Well, just the only way that's going to come through and touch your heart is through that intimate place of prayer. And as you keep doing that, you just feel a real peace. I've had situations where, man, it looks like nothing's happened and looks like nothing is happening. Anyone else looking in there think you're an idiot. Why are you praying for? Because nothing's changing and I think nothing's ever going to change. But when you pray it through, you can come to that place where you've got a peace about it. And it's the same sense of understanding or peace that you come to as if it was resolved. And we can have that in God. He tells us that. And to pray it. So keep on praying. People don't pray enough. They prayed, I gave it to God. And then the next day, oh, I'm just a mess. Well, then pray it through. Pray until the point of peace. Just keep praying until there's peace. If there's no peace, there's not enough prayer. If you're anxious, there's not enough prayer. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. The only way that we're going to get peace is two ways. One is resolution, and we all want that because that's easy. The world want that because it's easy. Well, once it's there, anyone's going to feel a peace. But sometimes things take time. And so until that moment, we can have that sense of peace in our hearts. So keep praying. Pray it through until peace comes. But it's that intimacy with God that that'll actually happen. It's the reassurance of the Father. When your Heavenly Father who created you speaks the word into your heart, he speaks that reassuring word that resonates within your spirit. If you just know God is right with you and you just sense and feel in your own heart God putting his arm around you and he just says, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Wow. The Father himself putting his arm around me. Man, what a peace that brings. The reassurance of my Father. And until you get that, keep on praying. Keep on praying until that comes into our heart. And so pray to that point of peace. Ephesians 6:18, when it talks about prayer, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And there's different kinds of prayers. You've been learning that. The different sorts of prayer and how to pray, all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. The alert keeps coming up, doesn't it? Be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for one another. It's important that we're praying for our brothers and sisters. Pray for each other. Important that you do that. Someone takes a hit, pray for them. Someone's struggling, pray for them. Join with them. Stand with them. Pray with them. Help them come to this place of peace. Ultimately, we're coming to a place of resolution. Sometimes the resolution's immediate. Sometimes it's not, but we pray. And we pray until that point of peace. And pray and stand with one another. But prayer is so important out of that intimacy. And when you find that, that's where anxiety goes. People from the outside will go, gee whiz, if I was going through that, man, I'd be jumping off a bridge. No, there's a peace because my Father has come along beside me and I've heard his whisper in my ear. It's okay, son. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. And whether he says gonna or going to, it's that reassurance of having your Father just touch your heart. Very precious when the Lord does that. Excuse me, when he does that to us. So I want to say another thing is that God does hear our prayers. When you pray, God actually does hear your prayers. Sometimes we think that we're just praying to a brick wall or we're praying to ourselves or maybe to one another. But God actually does hear your prayers. It tells us in 1 Peter 3:2, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. For the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Hands up if you're righteous this morning. Hands up if you're righteous. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you should have your hand up right now. Hands up if you're righteous. We're righteous. You might say, oh, hang on, but you don't know what I did this week. You don't know what I said. You don't know what I did when that guy cut me off. You don't know what I did when that my boss was really bad to me. You don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. We are righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are righteous, therefore God hears your prayer. Now, if we're conscious of sin, if sin consciousness is in our mind because we know we've blown it, then we take it to God and we bring it to Him and we just have that reassurance. It's okay. Dealt with at the cross. You're clean. You're righteous. You're holy. And so if there's conviction within our heart, of course, we take it to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. But God looks at us and He says that you are righteous. And it's not that there's some people more righteous than others. See, some people think that. They think this person gets their answers to their prayer because they're more righteous than I. That's rubbish. There's no one here that is more righteous than another once we've given our heart to Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. Amen? Praise God for that, because we'd all be miserable failures otherwise. The devil would want us to think. Remember, the devil wants to keep us separated from God. And if for one moment he thinks that gets you to think you're unworthy to pray, if for one moment he thinks that, how dare you come before the holy and living God? See, that's where the devil's such a hypocrite, isn't he? He's the one that entices us to sin. He says, oh, come on, have a go, try this. It'll be good. No one will know. No one will care. It's all right. It's just between you. No one knows about it. Not hurting anybody. Just come along. Just try this. And so, being a sucker to the father of lies, we go there. We try it. Immediately you feel condemned. And then the devil comes, goes, aha, you filthy, slimy, whatever he says. You know, you unholy thing. How are you ever going to come? Now, he's the one who tried to get us there in the first place. He'll do that. But don't remember, it's a battle for truth. We're not listening to the father of lies. And don't ever be sucked in for a moment thinking, oh, I'm unworthy to lift my hands to worship him. I'm unworthy to come before the Father. I'm unworthy to have communion. The biggest nonsense I've ever heard. I can't take communion. Man, the only reason we can take communion is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only reason we have communion is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, what he did for us on the cross. And said, what about taking it in an unworthy manner? Well, an unworthy manner is not that I'm unworthy before God. Christ is what made me worthy before God. An unworthy manner is where I'm disregarding what it means, but also I'm not in good relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to talk about that more in just a moment. Taking it in an unworthy manner, you don't have to come and get your life right. A communion is not the time where we get our life right before Christ. Our life is right before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are remembering that. Now, if we are convicted at that time, at any time we are convicted of sin, we bring it to God. Any time. We say, Lord, look, sorry, Lord, I knew I blew it. I lost my temper. I said this, I did that, or whatever I did, whatever it was. So, Lord, just forgive me for that. My attitude was wrong. It stank at that time, and God will forgive us. And so it's not some religious ceremony that you go through that we can get to God. The blood of Jesus Christ cancelled every religious ceremony. The blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us righteous and gives us access to the Father. And as I said, whenever we're convicted of sin, we deal with it. But when we hold communion, I pick it up with such a gratitude. Lord, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you, Lord, that you've washed me and you've cleansed me of every sin. And I thank you, Lord, that I have direct access to my Father by your very blood. That's how we take communion. Not that we're suddenly doing it to get good enough. We take it because we are good enough. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the cross that enables us to come to him. And therefore, so we are righteous. And therefore, our prayers are heard. God hears your prayers. I'm going to hear in a moment how he treasures your prayers. But he hears your prayer. Never think. Don't listen to the lie of the devil that says you are not holy enough to pray. And the reason you haven't got your answer is because you're not holy enough. Now I'm going to talk about a couple of blockages in a moment. But that's the number one winner for him. His objective is to break relationship between people and God and between men, between people. And what a wonderful way to do that, eh? What a great little ploy that is to tell you that you're a sniveling, unholy, little filthy wretch. How dare you ever think that you can come before the living God? That's what he'll throw at you. Don't listen to that. That is a lie. We stand before God not on based on what we did this week or didn't do this week. We base purely, we can only ever come before the Father based on the blood of Jesus Christ, what he has done for me. And as I said, at any time we're convicted of sin, at any time we deal with it. We don't mess around, you know, we don't sin so the grace may be abound. Paul says, no, I mean, you wouldn't do that anyway because you love God with your whole heart. But when you make a mistake, when you blow it, when you slip up, you deal with it straight away. But you're righteous because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, your prayers are heard. Be confident of that. God hears your prayer. The Father in heaven hears your prayer. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You're a righteous person today. Don't let the devil tell you anything different than that. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, well, then you need to do that because you're not righteous until you do. That's what the scripture says. But once we give our life to Christ, his righteousness is credited to you. It's credited to your account. So when God looks at you, is this person righteous or not? Didn't see whether you got angry with the kids this week. Wasn't interested. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, is his righteousness credited to you? And when I say he's not interested, does that mean that God doesn't care? If we're mean to our kids, of course he does. I'm going to talk about relationships in 2 seconds' time, maybe 10. But your righteousness doesn't depend on what you do or didn't do. It depends upon Jesus Christ. His blood covers us from all sin. As I said, any time we're convicted of sin, deal with it. Don't mess around. Don't fool around. Be holy as your Father is holy. But don't ever allow anything to stop you feeling that you can approach the living God. And certainly for forgiveness, some people think, I've crossed the line and that line has been crossed and now I can't even come to God because God will never receive me and never forgive you. Another lie of the devil. We come before God and say, God, look, I have blown it. That loving Father is ready to receive us every time, if we open our heart to him. But prayer is powerful and effective, but sometimes prayer is hindered. And I just want to read this in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, now it's addressing husbands, but really this applies to all of us. The principle does at least. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Be sensitive to your wife. Caring to your wife. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Doesn't mean they're weak, just they're maybe wired a little bit more sensitively than you are. And as heirs with you of grace of the gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Be sensitive to your wives. But really the principle really extends to be sensitive to one another. Because remember, what does the devil want to do? He wants to break relationship with us and God and with each other. And if he can do that, get in there into our relationships. And if that's why when Jesus is, the Bible is so strong about things like forgiveness. As I said before, remember the devil loves it when we don't forgive. He loves it when we hold on to things, that when we remember things and we just hold on to deals and just let those things, he loves that. He loves it. As long as there's fragmentation, the devil has a party. He has an absolute field day. And here it's saying there's a blockage that comes in. Something hinders your prayer because already the devil's already won a victory there. If he's already got you not acting correctly towards your wife or to your husband or to your children or to one another, if already that you're like that, already he's already got a bit of a stronghold in your life because that's his aim. His aim is to break relationship. And if we are living like that, with holding on to things and living with broken relationships that we are responsible for. We're not responsible for what other people do, but we're responsible to our heart towards them. We're responsible to our responses and our attitude and whether we're gracious and whether we're forgiving. That's what we're responsible for. And if we hold it in our heart that it becomes a blockage that with this thing that we're holding on to, then it says there it's going to hinder our prayers. That's why relationship is so important. Unity is so important that we're praying with powerful people. Now, we're righteous people. Don't let the devil tell you not. You're a righteous person by the blood of Jesus Christ when you give your heart to him. But make sure that you maintain good relationship with your brothers and sisters. Let nothing come between. Let nothing hinder that. Keep that good relationship. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. Don't have petty little things that you hold on to. Don't let anything become a blockage in our lives. But prayer, I just want to say, is so powerful that we've got to understand how prayer, it's just an awesome thing in terms of the spiritual realm when we pray. Remember, even as worship is directed to our Father because we love him and because he's worth it, and there's an intimacy in worship and there's that power we talked about as we worship together last week, we give our hearts to him in that way. And there's also such, and we talked about the spiritual dimension of the battle that goes on when we are worshiping. Well, there's also something happening quite unique and profound when we are praying. It's not just, see, people in the world who don't understand the things of God, They think it's just some sort of like a therapeutic thing where you're just, you know, you're just speaking these things out, your worries and your concern, and they're sort of, you're venting that to some therapeutic benefit in doing all of that. That's what the world thinks. They think just by praying, yeah, well, you know, you can't talk to someone, talk to the air, they don't believe in God. They think it's something therapeutic, but there's something more than therapeutic. There's that spiritual dimension to our prayer that is awesome and very powerful. Something in Psalm 141, and this is what the psalmist writes. It says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands in prayer like the evening sacrifice. May my prayer be set before you like incense." And you've got to, it's just this picture, this at the moment, you've got the tabernacle there. You know, you've got the holy place, you've got the most holy place, that inner sanctum, if you like, the presence of God, you've got the ark, but you've got the curtain, the dividing curtain that divides and separates, where only the priest could go in once a year into that place, into the most holy place. And right in front of this big, whopping, big, thick curtain that's there, is this little altar of incense. And it's quite small, a lot smaller than the altar that was used for sacrificing, this little altar that's there. And right there was incense that had to be put on. The priest had to have the incense in the morning and in the evening. And the incense had to always be continually rising. Priests weren't allowed to let it go out. So when they did it in the morning, they made sure there was plenty of incense that would burn for the whole day. And in the evening, there's enough that it would then burn the whole night. So there's always this incense that was rising and ascending to God. And that's the picture that the psalmist is writing here. So my prayer come before you. May it be like that incense that comes up into your presence. And something very powerful. We know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he died, we know that there was that mighty earthquake that came, and we know that mighty curtain that was in the temple, how that it was rent, it was torn from top to bottom, it was just opened up. And to me, that's a wonderful picture of prayer, that once, now that our prayer is actually ascending right into the very most holy place, right in the throne, there's nothing to stop our prayers now because of Jesus Christ, because of the access that we have to our Father, that our prayers go directly before the throne of God. And certainly that's how it describes it in the book of Revelation. Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. "And when he had taken it," and this is this scroll that they're saying, who's going to open this up? Who's going to do it? And John, having this revelation, is crying. No one's found worthy to open the scroll and break the seven seals upon it. It says, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." What an amazing image. That when you're praying, when we pray to God, it's we're not just praying to one another. We're not sermonizing when we pray. We're not just trying to encourage each other by our prayers. But when we are praying, our prayers, they ascend to the Father in heaven, and you see your prayers getting collected up. Your prayers are actually very precious. And I think there's different kinds of prayer, as we know. And I think this is the kind of prayer where you just, the intimacy kind of prayer. Lord, I just love you. The thanksgiving type of prayer. Lord, I'm just so grateful. The wonder kind of prayer. Lord, I'm just in awe of who you are and what you've done for me. And it's like that ascends to the Father, and those prayers are so precious, and they're kept like a memorial. The prayers of the saints, which God treasures so much, and are held in his presence, and they rise up as a pleasing aroma that rises up to him. And God takes such great joy and such delight when we come in that way and pray those intimate kind of prayers with our Father, those thanksgiving kind of prayers. And I just see them just descending before the Father, and up there they're collecting them. I don't know who's doing it, but they're putting them in these golden censers, and they're just there before God as a reminder of the love that you have for him. He loves you incredibly, and the joy and the delight of having that always before him, the prayers of our saints. That's why Paul talks about, he says, pray continually. He says, always pray. You know, the same way that they weren't allowed to let all this go out, the priests. Well, don't let the incense of your prayer go out in your life. Keep praying. Pray. Pray the Lord. Just pray in the morning, in the evening, all day. Just in your heart, carry that sense of God and loving him. Let that rise, a gratitude in your own heart, despite your situation, rising before our Father in heaven. And that's one kind of prayer that's pictured here in Revelation, the prayers of the saints which are precious before God. There's also a power that we see in prayer. Let's have a look at Revelation 8, 3 and 4. Similar image. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. So this altar that used to have, in the temple, there was a veil before it. No, there's nothing now. Our prayers are coming right before the throne of God, right into the presence of our Father in heaven, who stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Now this is the part I want you to listen to. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Just picture that for a moment. There's this, the throne of God, and there's this censer with all the prayers of the saints. And the angel, he scoops up some of the fire of heaven. He gets the fire of heaven, puts that with our prayers, gets the fire of heaven, he gets our prayers, and then he gets it and then he hurls that down to the earth. And there's flashings of lightning and there's bells of thunder and there's an earthquake. How awesome it is when you pray. How awesome it is when you pray. Your little prayer. Sometimes you think, oh Lord, I don't know all the words. Nothing to do with all the words. It's to do with all of your heart. That's what God's interested in. Not interested in, as he, before the Lord's Prayer, when he taught a man to pray, don't go babbling on like the pagans. I think they say millions of words. I'll say the right thing. It's what's in your heart, simple prayer. But it comes before God and it's a cry, it's a need, it's a prayer, it's an intercession, a supplication, a petition, a request before God. You bring it before God, it rises up there before the Father. Something of the stuff of heaven, the fire of heaven is taken and it's hurled down with such a force and such a strength. Did you know that when you pray, you cause lightning storms, you cause thunder, you cause earthquakes? Do you understand how powerful and awesome your prayer is? That when you pray, when you stand and pray and you cry out to the living God, the prayer comes before the Father. He hears it because you are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it gets unleashed with such a force in the heavenly realms. Well, the devil doesn't like it when you pray. He's a bit scared of the lightning, a bit scared of the thunder, and he's scared of the earthquake. He's scared of the effect that your prayers have. Incredible power is released when we pray. Incredible power is released when we pray. Awesome power is released when we pray. And so don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Let there be a dramatic effect. You know, the things that happen in the spiritual realm. We're so oblivious to the spiritual world that we live in. You go to Papua New Guinea, which I've been to, and there's some stories I could tell you. I'm not going to waste time telling you. But, man, are they aware of the spiritual realm in those countries? Not a problem. The things of the spirit, they're used to demonic activity, demonic manifestations. Well, we're too intellectual here, so Satan just hoodwinks us in other ways. But the same spirits are just as active, and the things of the devil are still just going on. But we're praying, and as I said, we're never fearful because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Of course we do. But when we pray, when you pray, man, you set things trembling. You set things shaking. You cause such an awesome unleashing of the power of God. The fire of heaven is released when you pray. Man, I'd want to be praying. Going through a tough time, man, I would be praying. I'd be praying until I came through that point of peace in my own heart for my own sake. But I'd be praying for the fire of heaven to be released into the situation because I want the resolution ultimately. If I believe it's according to God's will in his heart because it conforms to his word and I know that the heart and the motivation is right and good, then I'm going to pray because there's something unlocked in heaven. Don't underestimate your prayers. Think, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, you know how to talk, you know how to pray. And you've been learning how easy it is to pray. Cry out to God, God, help me in this situation. Lord, I don't know what to do. Simple prayer, collected in heaven and kaboom, the power of God that is released when we pray. And just be aware, too, that there is a battle that surrounds our prayer. If you have a look in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, 12 to 14. This is Daniel. He's been praying for a long time. dire situation, wanting to get an answer, no answer coming. And to Daniel's credit, he kept on praying. Our problem is we pray once, twice, three times, 20 times, and then we stop. And we still don't have any peace. Like, I don't know why we'd even stop if we don't have that peace. We keep praying until we get the peace. But we pray it through because we're praying through for that resolution. But this is Daniel, and he's been praying, and then this incredible angelic being comes and stands before Daniel. And Daniel takes one look at this guy, and he's just, next minute he's flat on his face. He just feels weak, he can't breathe. This incredible figure, just an angel, it's not the Lord, just an angel, comes before him and he can't breathe. The next minute he says, he describes it as he fell asleep. I think he just fainted. I think most of us probably would. We saw this awesome, you know, lightning for eyes and big flashes and all this stuff. I don't think, how big and tough you think you are, man, you know, and bang, he's fainted. So the angel touches him, and so next minute he's on his knees, and he said, how could I talk to you? I have no strength. The angel touches him, gives him strength, stands into his feet, still trembling. And the angel then talks to him. And this is what he says. And then he continued, don't be afraid, Daniel. It's a good thing to hear, because I think, you know, he was pretty scared. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now he's telling them this after 21 days, nothing happening, dire situation, something better happen quickly, I'm in real trouble, something needs to change drastically, immediately, I need help, help me Lord. He says, from the first moment you begin to pray, your words were heard, and I came in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Now, it's not talking about a physical kingdom. This is a spiritual picture. It's a demonic stronghold. It's an evil force that was there. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So the moment he started praying, God, the angel begins to come with the answer. The angel's there. And then, but the prince of Persia, this demonic figure, steps in, doesn't want him to have the answer, and so he starts into it. You know, it's like one of those movies. They're there, they're fighting, they're rolling around and doing all this sort of stuff happening, and because ultimately this angel would have won, but because of the requirement of the situation, it says there, then Michael, one of the chief princes, so this angel, and we think possibly Michael the archangel, we're not sure, Michael the archangel is the one who turfed Satan out of heaven. He did that. So he's a pretty tough guy. Didn't take Jesus to throw the devil out, just took Michael to do it. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So there's this little fight that's going on. Enough's enough. Michael comes in, flips him out, boom, off they go. And the answer comes, now I've come to you to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, because he's crying out for his nation, for his people. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. And so there was this dimension to prayer. That again, and that's another good reason to keep on praying. So sometimes when we're praying, the devil will try to come in and try to stop our answer from coming. And certainly it did that. Now we don't understand all of what is happening here. This is the only passage which is explicitly and that clearly it actually describes something of this nature. But we see there that these angels coming from day one. I prayed, God heard on the way, and then there's a spiritual battle that was going on. Now, the battle wasn't against Daniel. The battle was in the spiritual realm. It was in the heavenly realm. And so Daniel, to his credit, he didn't stop on day 20. What if he stopped on day 20? Imagine if you were the angel. You're sent from God. Prayer's gone to God. But here I go. The devil tried to stop in, sends someone, battle going on. And, you know, he's there just about to come through with the answer. But then Daniel stops praying. Hang on a minute. I need your prayer. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep on praying it through until the answer comes, and then the answer will come through. Some of us just stop. We give up. Oh, God doesn't either. We believe the rubbish that God doesn't hear my prayer. We listen to that rubbish. Listen to the rubbish. Oh, I'm not good enough. So why would God want to give me the blessing? Why would he want to give me the healing? Why would God want to touch me? We believe that. And it's just simply a matter of just keeping on praying through, because there's war that goes on when we pray. Your prayers are awesomely powerful, and there is a spiritual dimension to our prayer. So don't stop praying. Jesus told the story of the persistent widow, and he goes on and says about the widow knocking on the door and driving this unjust judge and nuts until finally, because he's sick to death of this woman, okay, I'll help you, I'll give you justice. God's not like that. The moment we knock on the door, God hears our heart and he's in there working for us. But the parable was told purely so that people would pray but not give up. Pray but not give up. But I would suggest that most people, in most circumstances, pray and give up. I would suggest that. I hope I'm wrong in that, but my feeling is that tends to be the case. That people pray to a certain point and they haven't got the peace and they haven't got the resolution. They just stop somewhere in between. And maybe there is a spiritual battle that's going on. Therefore, you need to be praying because you have incredible authority when you pray. You pray with the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ with total power. And so we just keep on praying it through. Pray it through. Pray it through for your peace, but pray it through till that the victory comes. Ultimately, the victory is in Jesus Christ. So why would you ever give up? Why would you ever stop praying? Just keep praying it through. Just keep praying it through. There's a war that is happening in the spiritual realm. And our prayer is such an important part of it. You praying things through. Pray it for peace, but pray it for resolution. Pray it because there's a battle that goes on in the heavenly realms when you pray. And just remember that. You're going to learn more about spiritual warfare in grow groups this week. So don't miss it. You'll learn all about it this week. But so important, that aspect of our prayer. Now, while we're praying, we're not praying for warfare. We're not praying for that purpose. We're praying out of intimacy with our Father. And our Father hears us because we're righteous and he loves us. So that's not necessarily the purpose of our prayer. The purpose of our prayer is because we love God and we want to honour him and be close to them. But when we pray, there is that dimension, the same as worship. Worship's towards God, but there's that spiritual dimension in the heavenly realms. And I want us to be a praying people. I want to cause a few earthquakes. I want to see some lightning and rumblings as we stand and pray. And man, you get everyone together in a prayer meeting. You imagine how much noise that makes in the heavenly realms. Two or three together, how much lightning is coming out, how much rumblings, how much power of God is unlocked when we get together and pray. They're very powerful when we pray together. Don't miss out on praying. There is that spiritual dimension. The victory will come. The victory will keep coming, will come, but just keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give up on day one or two or three or four or day 20. Year one, year two, year three, however long it takes, you pray until you have the peace and you pray until you have that victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for your people of prayer. It says in Colossians 4:2, and we'll just close with this. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devoted to something, you know, I'm devoted to you, which means I'm going to give you time, I'm going to give you attention, I'm going to give you affection and all those things. I'm devoted to something, something that actually is a priority. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful, why are we watchful? We're watchful because we've got an enemy. We're in a war. We're alert. We're watchful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Why am I thankful? I'm thankful because Jesus has won the victory. I thank the Lord that he has defeated every work of the enemy. He's defeated that. And so as we pray, we're enforcing that very victory. The same way as we learn in worship about your worship being that the two-edged sword in your mouth when you're worshiping the Lord. In the same way as when we're praying, we are actually enforcing the victory that Jesus Christ has won. And so it's important that we pray. And pray for us too. And to me, this, I want to finish with, I believe, the most important prayer that we can pray. Most important, outside of our intimacy, all right? So that's a given, I assume, that intimacy with God, Father, and relating to our Father in heaven and the kind of prayer that does that. But he says, pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And I think there's something so important and something powerful about us praying for people to come to Christ. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on them. Sometimes people do that. They write people off. They pray for them to a certain amount of time, and after many years, it looks like they're never going to get there. Ultimately, they've got to make a choice, but I wouldn't make the choice to give up on them. Don't make the choice to give up on them. Make the choice to keep praying for them because you want God's best for them. And you want to see them in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. You want to see them have eternal life. Don't give up. Never give up on prayer. Never give up. Always keep praying. Be faithful in prayer. Be devoted to prayer. It's so important that we are alert and sober-minded so that we can pray. Let's be a praying people. Let's stand up and pray right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, as we pray, Lord, there's such a powerful dimension that is released, Lord. And even if the devil tries to come and hinder our prayers, tries to step in, Father, I just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that there is victory there. Lord, whatever delaying tactic the enemy would try to bring, Lord, that there's victory, Lord, you cut through that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we want to stand as a praying people, Father, to understand that when we pray our little prayers, Father, there's this mighty release in heaven, Father, when we pray. Mighty power that is unlocked as we pray. And Father, when we pray together, oh, what an amazing, awesome, powerful thing that is. Lord, that we shake the gates of hell when we pray. Father, that we cause every demon to tremble and to flee in the name of Jesus Christ, that when we stand and pray together. So Father, let us be that awesome people of prayer. Father, who devote ourselves to prayer, Father. Lord, learn the wonder of prayer, the simplicity of prayer. The Lord, the awesome power of prayer, Lord, that we are people who pray, and our prayer, Lord, of a righteous men and women and children that we are, is powerful and effective in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want us to stand with prayer with you this morning,